Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard. Was hard, but not anymore, thanks to WonderSuite from Bluehost. Answer a few questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make...
Here in Key West, we were out before it was in. In this open and inclusive paradise, you can be yourself, make new friends, and savor our live and let live vibe. With LGBTQ+ friendly accommodations, our legendary nightlife, and year-round activities and events, it's always a good time to come as you are. Key West, close to perfect, far from normal.
Honey, I'm home. I was trying to think of what horribly corny intro I was going to use, and somehow I landed on that. I am so sorry for your ears already. But hey, it's Emily, and welcome back to another episode of The Straight Shooter Recruiter. For those of you who don't know, I am a campus recruiter by day and a podcast host by night who has apparently not recorded in 2 whole months. Oh my God. It has been an absolutely crazy fall. I can't even tell you how excited I am to be behind this microphone right now. I am sitting in my PJs. I've got a tea. I've got the mic in front of me. This is honestly me living my best life. I took a bit of a break, guys. There was a lot going on. I won't get into all of the details, but I moved, it was busy season at work, and I honestly just needed some time to recharge, focus on my 9 to 5, get organized, get situated, and then hop back onto this microphone nice and awake and energized, and here we are. So thank you so much for being patient and understanding, and thank you for everyone who is a new listener, an old listener. I'm so excited to have you here. Today's episode is my new favorite style of episode. And I don't know if it's because I'm lazy and I don't need to write anything, but we are going for a really casual Q&A style episode again. So on my Instagram, if you are not following me, what are you doing? Why do you have the gram if you're not following me on Instagram? Hello. Go over to emily.the.recruiter on Instagram. Give me a follow or at least check me out every once in a while so that you can submit your questions for the episodes. So, long story short, on Instagram, I was able to collect a whole bunch of your questions, what you wanted answered, and we've got a little bit of everything, a little bit of interview tips, a little bit of how to network with COVID, a little bit of juicy Q&A. You are going to get all of it. So sit back, relax, let's talk careers. I am so ready for this. Okay, next question is, how do I describe my strengths and my weaknesses? That's a great question. When it comes to your weaknesses, I would say don't bring them up unless they ask. So don't give people that information unless they ask you explicitly, tell me about some of your weaknesses. When it comes to your strengths, have specific examples ready. So for example, if you're saying that you're a great communicator, it's not enough to say, yes, I'm a really strong communicator. Make sure you have examples to back it up. So you'd say, I'm a strong communicator. I was recently working on a team project where we were really struggling to get on the same page. So I went out of my way to create a spreadsheet that helped divide the work and made sure that we had weekly touch points. You could do something like that. So have actual examples to back up your claims. If you do get asked about your weaknesses, here's kind of my unpopular opinion. I used to hear this going around a lot in the recruitment world that candidates thought if they said, well, I'm a perfectionist as their biggest area of weakness, that recruiters would not catch on. Hi, it's me. We've caught on. We know that when you Google how to answer that question, Google tells you just to say you're a perfectionist. My advice is be honest. Recruiters know that not every single person is a perfectionist. If you are, great. go for that, continue. But I would definitely recommend being transparent about what your weaknesses are. And that doesn't mean you should say, I'm horrible with numbers, don't trust me with any data. But maybe what you say is, I've struggled a bit with data management in the past. So what I did to overcome that was I took some additional courses, and now I spend a little bit of extra time with Excel when I have to pull reports. So if you do have to call out an area of weakness, make sure you call out how you actively work through that. I know for me, data is not my strong point. So I do have to work a little bit longer on that. And that is how I actually answer that question when I'm being interviewed. All right. Next question is, what are some common flaws that you see in applicants and in interviews? Oh my gosh. Girl, where do I begin? I'm kidding, but not really. When it comes to applications, the biggest mistake I see, believe it or not, is the resume being like 30 pages long. It's, you know, really long. It's so full of words, and it's just really difficult to digest. I say this all the time, but, you know, bots that screen out resumes are not as popular as people think they are. Recruiters really do read almost every single resume that comes in their system. So when your resume is extremely long and extremely wordy, it's very difficult for me to understand who you are, what you do, and why I should hire you. So keep your resume to a page and make sure that it's not too wordy, that it does have important content on there, but that you're actually using a format that helps promote the work you've done without it looking like a paragraph or an essay. In terms of interview pieces that I see that are kind of an issue, not doing your research. So if I come in and ask you why you're interested in working at a given company, I'll use my employer Intuit as an example. So if I say, why are you interested in working at Intuit? And your response is, I like your Super Bowl commercials. It's great that you like our Super Bowl commercials, but I want to know you did research. I would much rather you say, I love some of your marketing. You know, your Super Bowl commercial was hilarious, but I really appreciate your company culture. And here's why. So having research really sets you apart as a candidate. The other thing is being overprepared. Now, stay with me. I know I tell you to always prepare for your interviews, but there is such a thing as being too prepared. If you are reading off of a script or looking down the entire time at an interview and not making eye contact with me because you're reading off of all of your notes, that at times can be a bit of a problem. It's okay to have notes. It's okay to need to reference that. But what I don't want to feel like is that you're reading off of a script. So that's another thing that I really, really kind of caution against. Okay, I'm scrolling. What are some other questions that were asked? How easy is it to internally transfer into new roles within a company? That's an awesome question. I would say it depends on the company. I'm really grateful. Every company that I've worked for has had amazing internal mobility, where you basically could reach out to people, learn more about their career, and really get supported if you wanted to change paths. At Intuit, and I promise this podcast is not sponsored by Intuit in any way. I wish, though. Like, hey guys, do you want to give me a little sponsoroo? We have great internal mobility. I know that if I want to network and learn more about other opportunities internally, I feel totally supported to do that. So that's going to be pretty company specific. I would actually recommend asking that in your interviews, because if a company doesn't really promote internal mobility, that's not the best career move long term. Okay. Awesome. So another question is, if you're switching to a new field, how do you explain that in an interview? Oh my gosh, I love this question because I get asked this all the time. And I kind of have a really basic answer. It's completely up to you. And I know that's the wrong answer. That's not the answer that you want to hear, but here's why. Sometimes people change their careers for really personal reasons that they don't want to tell their employer. They don't want to tell, you know, the interviewer or the recruiter. And I really believe that employers need to respect those boundaries. There might be personal reasons you changed locations or took time off or completely changed industries that really are none of my business if they made you happy. If it's a total industry switch and you really want to make sure that you are selling yourself as a candidate and you're comfortable sharing, I would really leverage your past experience to show that you're a diverse thinker and a unique thinker. For example, if you have a previous career in sales and now you want to get into technology, what you could say is, I was really successful in the world of sales. I really enjoyed the work I did, but I always had this underlying passion for technology. So I took a little bit of time, learned more about the world of tech, and now I'd love to bring the creative, and communication skills I built in sales into the world of technology. So I would almost frame it as, you are bringing a whole new, unique set of skills that the average candidate wouldn't be able to bring in, but you can. So that's kind of how I would spin that. We actually got a lot of questions like that, so I'm really happy that that one came up. This is a great question. What's the best way to keep in contact with a recruiter about future opportunities? So Generally, I would say LinkedIn, but it does depend on the time of year. If you're looking for internship positions, the fall is really rough for campus recruiters. Our LinkedIn gets absolutely flooded. So you might find that we are not responding as much as we typically would be. I know for me in the fall, I'm really behind on my LinkedIn messages. So if you've already had a career conversation or maybe, you know, an interview even with that recruiter, you can email them. There's nothing wrong with, you know, once a month or once every 2 months, just following up, seeing how they're doing, and seeing if there's any new roles available. I would also recommend, you know, again, I'm going to use Intuit as an example because that's my easy example. But, you know, if you and I were interviewing and you did not get the role, but I said, let's stay in touch for future opportunities, I would also recommend that you check out Intuit's career website. So actively take a look at that, see if any roles are a good fit. And if there is a role that really excites you, email me, email that recruiter and say, hey, it was great connecting with you a couple months back for this internship role. I just saw this position posted. Could we connect so I can learn more? 9 times out of 10, the answer is yes. Do you guys ever listen to recordings of yourself and then want to pluck your ears off of your head? I just listened back to a clip that I recorded and I think I counted myself saying, you know, at least 6 times. So this is now my second time recording the segment. Hi, welcome back. The question that I was trying to answer before I you know'd myself to death is, how do I leave a company professionally? So I think personally, the number one thing is give them enough time and give them enough notice. Obviously, life is going to happen. You are not always going to be able to give 2 weeks or longer for notice for them. Where it is possible, do it. Where you're able to give them 2, 3, maybe even 4 weeks of working notice, that really does alleviate some pressure and some stress, which kind of adds a bit of a positive tone to your exit. The other thing is don't tap out until it's done. I have seen so many amazing employees where I've worked with them for years and they were always fabulous. They were always passionate and engaged and good at what they did. And then their last 2 weeks of work comes around and they're dragging their feet around the office floor. They're online shopping for furniture in the middle of the day. They take a 3-hour lunch break. They're done. They're over it. Don't be one of those people. It tarnishes the reputation that you worked really hard to build. So stay present and stay doing good work all the way until your last day. And then 3 o'clock on your last day, you can be done. You've earned it. You worked hard. All right, another question. So do LinkedIn skills assessments and badges actually matter? You might hate me for this response. I mean, I don't think they do. I shouldn't say I don't think they matter at all. I just think there's better things you can do with your time. The LinkedIn assessments and badges are nice to haves. They're nice little skills boosters. They prove that you're passionate. It's never a bad idea to have more qualifications on your LinkedIn. Do I think they matter in the sense that they're going to be the differentiating factor between you and another candidate, or if you get the job or not? Honestly, no. I think they're a nice to have, but I don't think you should break your back spending hours working on them. The next question is, what should you do when you get ghosted by HR? Oh, how fitting for Halloween, spooky season, getting ghosted. So I have both been ghosted and accidentally ghosted. There have been times where candidate emails got into my spam folder and I didn't see them for a few weeks. And then I felt absolutely horrible. Or you thought you reached out to a person and you never pressed send on the email. I think there is always going to be an element of human error from a recruitment perspective because so much of it is manual. However, there is a difference between a couple of weeks and then the recruiter catching their mistake, calling you, apologizing, you know, that's a wrap. There's a very big difference between you following up multiple times and not hearing anything for weeks or months on end, not even so much as an apology after they receive your email. To be honest, and I know this will not be a satisfying response, we need to walk away. We ghost them. They left you on read for 3 months, 4 months, never gave you any feedback, never replied to an email. This is where we part ways. I would say make a mental note that's not a company that you want to work for and call it a day. Again, we know human error is going to happen, but there is a fine line between genuine human error and you fully just got ghosted. So I would say that's where we part ways. Someone asked, is it okay to say that I want a job because I'm interested in relocating because I have a partner or spouse who lives in the area? Yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with that. You can always be honest with your recruiters. Just make sure that's not the only reason you're interested in the job. I would always make sure that you're highlighting why you're a good fit for the role and why you're a good fit for the company on top of that. So really lead with those facts versus your interest in relocating, but you can certainly throw that in there. Next question is, how do I dress at the interview? My answer, stay tuned. I'm going to be posting quite a bit on my Instagram, especially my Instagram reels with outfit ideas on how to dress for a variety of different interviews. I am going to talk though quickly about Zoom interview etiquette. I've seen a lot of candidates in really nice button downs and then sweatpants. Always dress head to toe for your Zoom interviews, just in case you drop something and need to pick it up and your full outfit shows, wear a complete outfit. If the interview is formal or business smart or business formal, that's a suit and a tie, that's a dress, that's heels, that's a blazer. If the dress code is business casual, smart casual, that's, you know, dress pants, a nice shirt, some flats, or maybe it's chinos, a button down, and a blazer. So that's how I would define that. Casual, I would say jeans, a nice little button down, and a sweater, and you're good to go. That's kind of an easy rule of thumb to follow. Someone said, how do I answer, where do I see myself in the next 2 years? Amazing question. I think it's okay to not know. What I will say is you should definitely make sure that you have some direction with how you answer that, even if you don't know. So if you're in an interview for marketing, let's say, and they're asking you, where do you see yourself in 2 years, and you don't actually know, you might say something to the effect of, well, I really am passionate about the space of marketing. I'm passionate about digital marketing. I don't know specifically what role I want to work in, but I want to continue to grow my career in this. So just make sure it's aligned to the industry, even if you don't have that specific answer. Someone posted, recruit me. I'll try, apply for one of my roles. Amazing. One of the other questions is there any personal assistance for interviews available? Honestly, the internet is a blessing. There are so many amazing content creators on YouTube, on Instagram, even on Twitter. Check out all of those resources. If you look up hashtags interview tips or interview hacks, you'll find so much on there that are really going to be helpful. Someone said, how can I get my resume really looked at? All of my job applications feel like they go into a black hole. If you're a current student, I would definitely recommend checking out your school's career center and your school's career services. I think that's an amazing place to start. If not, send me a message. I might be able to help. Amazing. How to talk professionally to people via video? Oh, I love this question. Zoom is really changing the game. Honestly, it's so different from meeting in person, getting a sense of someone's mannerisms, how they communicate. And I think Zoom really makes it difficult to make those personal relationships. It is a lot harder. So in terms of how to communicate, I would recommend really making sure that you focus on eye contact. Don't look down too much. Be very present. Oh my gosh, and I can't believe I just said eye contact. It's through a camera. Make camera eye contact. Make sure that you are looking at the person on the other side of the camera intently. You're not distracted. Other than that, make sure you're in a quiet space. Make sure that you are dressed clean and professionally. I would avoid having text on your shirt or really busy patterns on your shirt because sometimes those come up a little bit fuzzy on camera. But most importantly, I would say that eye contact and still making room for casual conversation. Still have those introductory kind of pleasantries and laughing and having those kind of back and forth conversations. Make sure you still leave some space for that. Someone asked, I really struggle with cover letters. Do you have any tips? Yes, I do. For those of you who have been listening to me, or who have rather been listening to me for a while, you know that I don't really believe in cover letters. I'm sorry. I don't. If your resume is really good, why do you need to spend all of that time writing a whole other piece of paper on why you're great? Shouldn't your resume just do that for you? Anyways, if you are required to submit a cover letter, I would recommend keeping it short, to the point. I would say about half a page, maybe three quarters of a page max. The way that I think about cover letters is that they should complement your resume, not reiterate it. So use your cover letter to really focus on your passion and your fit for the role. So instead of making a laundry list of all of the things that you've accomplished, use your cover letter as an opportunity to introduce yourself, why you started working in the field you're working in, why you're a good fit for the role, and why some of your experiences are really tied to and a good match for the position that you're interviewing with. So use every single opportunity to call out why you're a fit for that specific role in the cover letter. To be honest, though, a lot of companies are moving away from cover letters. The only industry where you'll still see that kind of as a mandatory field is finance and occasionally marketing. But even at that, I'm seeing a lot less of a need for those, at least in some of the postings that I've seen. Someone commented, "Can you teach me how to dance?" Oh my gosh, if I taught you how to dance, the whole world would have two left feet. They're definitely referring to my very nerdy Instagram reels. Have I mentioned I'm on Instagram? I don't know. Have I? At emily.the.recruiter? You tell me if I've mentioned it. I'm so annoying. Okay, the next question is, do university students have to do a co-op at Intuit to be considered for full-time positions? No, they don't. We do work really strategically, rather, to ensure that all of our co-op and intern students are considered for our full-time roles upon the completion of their work terms, but we definitely hire for full-time positions without folks who've worked with us previously. Someone asked, is it okay to say that you really want this job during an interview? To which I say, oh, yes, it is. I think you should call out that you want this job. I think, A, that shows that you're passionate. It shows that you, A, really want this job. But, B, it shows that you're being vulnerable. And I actually think that's a really nice trait in a candidate. Another question is, if a recruiter says that they're seeing a lot of really strong candidates, does this automatically mean that you didn't get the job? That's a really good question. I would say probably not. I don't think that having a strong pool of candidates will take away from you in any capacity. If anything, it means you are a part of that strong group of candidates as well. All right, I've made the executive decision that you should not be forced to listen to me for any longer than you already have. We did have some questions that we didn't get to, so I'm going to make sure that we have a part two to this series, the Q&A series. Honestly, these are my favorite podcast episodes to make. They're so much fun. I love interacting with you guys. And I'm so happy that you send in your questions. I'm so unbelievably grateful for that. So thank you so much. I can't believe it has been so freaking long since I've been behind this microphone, but it felt so good. It felt so amazing to reconnect with you, answer some of your questions. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for hanging out with me. How many times can I say thank you in a sentence? I don't know. But until next time, enjoy the job hunt, enjoy your networking, and I will talk with you next week.
Here in Key West, we were out before it was in. In this open and inclusive paradise, you can be yourself, make new friends, and savor our live and let live vibe. With LGBTQ plus friendly accommodations, our legendary nightlife, and year-round activities and events, it's always a good time to come as you are. Key West, close to perfect, far from normal.
The United States Border Patrol has exciting and rewarding career opportunities with the nation's largest law enforcement organization.
Border Patrol agents enjoy great pay, outstanding federal benefits, and up to $20,000 in recruitment incentives.
If you are looking for a way to serve something greater than yourself, consider the United States Border Patrol. Learn more online at cbp.gov/careers/USBP.
That's cbp.gov/careers/USBP.